All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
My son had a gift with technology. With reliable internet at home through the Internet Essentials program, the world opened up. He's part of this next generation of young people who feel they can thrive.
Through Project UP, Comcast is committing $1 billion to help open doors for the next generation with the connectivity and skills they need to build a future of unlimited possibilities.
BP added more than $70 billion to the U.S. economy in 2022 by making investments from coast to coast. Investments like building charging hubs for fleets of electric buses in California and starting up new infrastructure in the Gulf of Mexico. It's and, not or. See what doing both means for energy nationwide at bp.com/investing in America.
To Carrots and Price for Wednesday, March 6th, 2024, coming to you from the Go-Goat Sports Studio built by Arbor Lee here at the iconic Wall Center. And if you're heading out to a game, an activity downtown, why not make it a staycation? Call the Wall 604-331-1000. Ask for the To Carrots and Price rates on blackout dates. May apply. Matt To Carrots alongside Blake Price. Great sass, hitting switches, conducting things. Big show coming up, all brought to you by Applewood Auto Group.
Over at Applewood Infinity in Langley, the fabulous QX80. That fits my life. It really does. The 2024s, you can finance from 0%, plus you get $8,000 in non-stack cash. Go look it up. Applewood Infinity in Langley. It's all good at Applewood.
Tim Hortons poll question today, and welcome aboard to Tim Hortons. Blake, do it with me. Roll up the rim. To win here for Tim's 60th anniversary, you can play on the Tim's app to win prizes, cash, daily cash jackpot, $10,000. You can win the all-electric Volkswagen ID4, sun-soaked Hilton getaway. Download the Tim's app, roll up the rim to win until March 31st. Asking you, are you okay if the Canucks stand pat at NHL trade deadline? Yes or no? You can vote at YouTube and Twitter. And we're asking this, Blake, because you had noticed, we had both noticed, even going back to the Elias Lindholm trade, and some of them may have some dunking ammunition there, that the Canucks were going so well, why mess with team chemistry? Now, they're not going as well now, but we have still sensed a desire amongst Canucks fans to don't give up any more big assets. Let this team breathe. Let's go in with this group.
The poll question has taken on a different tenor now than when we first constructed it. Now I almost view this poll question through the prism of how can you stand pat? Right? Like I think the motive, I think there was as late as last night for the two of us. Anyway, we sort of sensed among some Canucks fans, nobody wanted to part with Lekkomäki. No one wanted to part with Wielander. Nobody wanted to part with Höglander. Now,
or even the 2025 first round.
Right. Pick. Now, when you see the action of today, trade deadline, they moved up 48 hours.
Hey,
how do you not react to this if you're the Canucks?
So I voted no on the poll question. The team has performed too well through three quarters of the season. The opportunity is too great here. And then, as you say, there is an element of keeping up with the Joneses. I think you have to, at the very least, I think you have to add another winger.
Mm-hmm.
You look at who Pettersson is playing with on a nightly basis. It's not good enough. At the very least, provide another option, even if it's not at the Jake Guentzel level. And I still think a right shot defenseman, if you can get one affordably or get a guy with term, makes some sense too. And of course, why with term? Myers, a free agent. Zadorov, a free agent. Ian Cole, a free agent. So you're going to be on the market for a defenseman and a right shot defenseman this summer. Anyways, if you can get that business done here, then that makes some sense to me as well. Okay, let's get to our top story brought to you by Mr. Lube. Elias Lindholm, we barely know you. And now may be on his way out the door. And Rick Dhaliwal reporting, and this is important, it is the Canucks who have initiated conversation on this proposed three-way deal that broke yesterday via Tuesday via Chris Johnston of Lindholm going to Boston, where the Bruins are in the market for not one but two centermen, that Boston would send Pittsburgh a cache of assets and that Pittsburgh would send the Canucks Jake Guentzel. We don't know whether the Canucks would have to provide anything further. I guess that's part of the negotiation here. I'm all for that, provided you're not giving up too much more. You've already given up Kuzmenko, Brstevich, a first-round pick, and a fourth that can become a third. That's a fair bit. You did so on January 31st. We're 6 weeks later now, Blake. So the price should come down on a player if you're missing him for 6 weeks of service or, you know, what? 15 or so games. So I'm okay with this. And Jim Rutherford has a big history of moving on quickly from a player if it doesn't work out. I will give you two examples, both of them Vancouver Canucks or ex-Vancouver Canucks. Acquired Tanner Pearson on November 14th, 2018, had moved him out by February 25th of the next year, barely 4 months. Eric Goodbranson, again, with the Vancouver Canucks. Acquired February 25th, 2019, ironically, for Tanner Pearson. Moved out 8 months later to the day in October of 2019.
Yeah.
David Perron, too.
I think the Canucks are going to have to be careful, though, about getting rid of too many bodies here. If it's just Lindholm out and Guentzel in, okay. But the Canucks can't afford to lose Lindholm and lose Höglander.
Like I wouldn't want to even attach an extra third round pick.
Given how everybody else is moving right now, I think the Vancouver Canucks would do their best to
let Boston pay the freight on this. They're the ones looking for centermen. There's not centermen out there.
Or do you just say screw it with the Bruins part of the deal and add Guentzel with the good old fashioned price tag and just load up?
Okay, but how are you getting him with Lindholm going to Boston?
Well, your
Pittsburgh doesn't want Lindholm.
No, you're finding another way. You're finding another way. Our top star is brought to you by Mr. Lube, 100% Canadian owned. Started in Edmonton by father and son team. Maybe we'll leave Edmonton out of it right now, given what's happening. They're the pioneer of the no appointment oil change and now new tire service and sales with no appointments. 16 locations in the lower mainland. For 1 year, you go to MrLube.com.
And as you've mentioned, Blake, the stakes have now gone up with the West loading up. Anthony Mantha from Washington to Vegas on Tuesday at the cost of a second and a fourth round pick, 50% retained on that deal. Here on Wednesday, the Colorado Avalanche have added defenseman Sean Walker from the Philadelphia Flyers, centerman Casey Mittelstad from the Buffalo Sabres, Bowen Byram, mm-hmm. former Vancouver Giant, heading to Buffalo in that deal. Port Moody's Ryan Johansson heading to Philadelphia in the Walker deal, although he's been waived. The Edmonton Oilers have strengthened down the middle, getting two Anaheim Ducks centermen and Adam Henrique and Sam Carrick. And then there's the LA Kings, who have a couple of players on waivers today, and Jared Anderson Dolan and Jacob Muvrari, the defenseman. Two guys who at one point were looked like good young players who might be, you know, fringe support players for their club. So you wonder whether they're making those moves to accommodate a player coming in. So far, the storyline on trade deadline, with all due respect to the Florida Panthers adding Vladimir Tarasenko, but so far the storyline on trade deadline has been this Western arms race that we have been predicting for some time, Blake, that there would be amongst Vegas, Edmonton, Colorado, Dallas, of course, who has already added Chris Tanev, that there would be a beefing up prior to the trade deadline, and it's playing out exactly as we thought.
Well, the other problem here is that the other teams are making deals that aren't costing them a whole lot. Like, there's some pretty, at worst, fair deals being made here.
That's a terrific price for Vegas to get Mantha. That's another behemoth in their lineup for a second and a fourth. The fourth in 2026. Yeah. And Washington retained no brokerage here.
So you deal with that fourth down the road. It's a second round pick. He's a flawed player. There's a reason why he's available and the reason why he's never really fully launched in the NHL the way that many thought that he would. But, you know, to have 20 goals under your belt already in more sheltered, limited minutes, I mean, that's a useful player. Sure. I think ultimately the one-for-one deal, Byram for Mittelstadt, makes a lot of sense for a team that moves the puck already from the back as well as the Avs do.
Byram had fallen out of favor there a little bit. So had Johansson. It does cost them a first round pick in 2025. So it's not like Colorado has gotten off scot-free, but you have to say they're an improved hockey club with Mittelstadt instead of Johnson and Walker instead of Byram.
Right? And then the Edmonton Oilers with the Henrique price, again, it's not ridiculous.
Johansson, not Johnson.
So
what's is it a first for Henrique and Carrick? I thought I saw a first, in which case I didn't.
It was
that.
A first, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's more than I would have paid on that trade.
You get some depth though. And they are, I mean, Edmonton's in a different stage than the Canucks are. Edmonton is desperate to make the Stanley Cup final.
That's the big difference.
You think the Canucks are pushing chips into the middle. My goodness. The Oilers are pushing chips and the table itself inside, you know, like it's, they just have to. So they got to pull out all the stops.
We actually have the full trade details now from Frank. And to Edmonton, it's Adam Henrique, 75% retained, Sam Carrick in a seventh, to Anaheim, Edmonton 2024 first, a conditional fifth, and then the Bolts get a fourth rounder. And the condition in
routine,
a fifth becomes a fourth if Edmonton wins the cup. Tampa also must send a reserve list player, which is interesting.
So crazy. An unsigned draft.
I see Mark Spector reporting too that, just as background, Carrick is number one in Ducks penalty killing, Henrique is number two.
Right.
So not only do they improve at 5-on-5, they just completely revamped their PK unit.
So Edmonton spends a first, a fourth for the brokerage, and a conditional fifth that can be a fourth for Henrique and Carrick.
Yeah.
And should mention that Flyers 2025 pick that they got from Colorado for Walker in the Johansson deal is also conditional. It's top 10 protected, so it would slide to 2026 if somehow, some way, the Colorado Avalanche wound up with the top 10 pick.
Our trade deadline show just got a lot more difficult. Our trade deadline week got a lot more difficult in the era of retained salary and conditional picks. Like, there's always been conditional picks, but right. My goodness, are the brackets,
well,
the bracket buttons are going to be well punched right. This season.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of those asterisks on cap friendly, but hey, that's the normal course of business now.
Yeah,
Conditional picks and retained salary as we go through this final year of effectively a flat cap era. That is par for the course with business. Now, tell me this, Blake Price.
Captain Canuck on YouTube pointed out Tarasenko was an absolute steal. Yeah, I agree. Add that to the reasonable, you know, two middling
the two
picks.
Wingers, Tarasenko and Mantha, I think, went for very good prices from the standpoint of the buyer.
Yeah.
Colorado has given up something significant here. Of course, they've gotten something significant back. I mean, Mittelstadt's an RFA. He's got two more years of club control. Byron's got four more years of club control. So that's sort of a different animal than the Mantha Tarasenko rental prices. Frankly, I think that's a little much from what Edmonton gave up for Anaheim. Like, Adam Henry can masquerade as a second-line center, but for me, he's more a third-line guy in the scarcity of center icemen. But getting back to Lindholm here, Blake, we heard it on Zadorov as well. When is the last time that you heard of a team make two in-season acquisitions and then there being smoke about moving the player on? I mean, this is really irregular stuff. And particularly 15 games, 16 games into his NHL tenure, to be looking at, or into his Canucks tenure, to be looking at Elias Lindholm as a guy who potentially, you know, moves on to land a second Lindholm at center, Gensel at wing. Those were always the two big deadline pieces, right? Be an extraordinary turn of events if something like that goes down.
And gasoline on the fire with Podkolzin's demotion to Abbotsford, which Jim Rutherford told Patrick Johnson is just paperwork, by the way. But it's still all the insiders suggesting that this deal is still possible as soon as today. And it is an extraordinary piece of work. I don't know why it hasn't worked famously for Elias
Lindholm.
Well, I
think it's the wing thing. You know, Talk had said he's a centerman.
But he's played center here.
Yeah.
And even in those games, did not seem to have it.
No.
You know.
Well, I think it's also become clear that he needs to play with good players.
But he's played, no, he played several played games with Pettersson.
I know.
You wonder if he just
kind of screwed up the power play, as we talked about a little bit, because, you know, you had to.
Let me say
make
this
amends and after, move people around,
man. After watching that power play, and it was a power play effectively because the extra man was out there in the overtime. And I don't know, Grady, you can drop Matt off if you want. I just want to have a one-on-one conversation with Rick Tocchet right here. Rick, can you go back, please? Just don't be too offended, you know. Rick, please, JT Miller at the top of the circle. How many times do I have to plead with you? Please, a full reset. I think you restore the lines back to the way they were, assuming no trade today. Go back to Besser, Miller, and Suter. Go back to Petey with Lindholm, assuming he's still a Vancouver Canuck, and whomever on the other side. Stop with the three lines. Reunite Bluger with Garland, and again, whomever alongside the change of Mikheyev and who else, and Hoglander. Just go back to where you were in January, early January. Just go back. Stop it with the blender. I'm done.
All right, Coach Talk at Sakaris, what's your rebuttal?
Can I speak now? Do you see what just happened here, Grady? He cleared the room.
I just needed to talk
Matt,
to Rick.
Grady, I'm going to need the room for a second.
I just need to talk to Rick.
One-on-one. Mano-a-mano. Yeah. Corner table. I, as you know, Grady, I would love to debate him on this. Frankly, I can't find a lot of material there. Because I, for the most part, agree wholeheartedly.
Well, what fun is that?
I know. You want me to fake it just for the sake of the fight?
We've done that before.
We used to do a whole price debate.
We used to do a whole segment, S versus B. What do we call it on Thursdays? Take Five Thursdays?
There's that too. Yeah.
first of all, speaking of clearing the room, hey, you filled up our room on Twitter. So big shout out to the Twitter audience that's joining us right now. Live every day, 11:30 a.m. Pacific time. Secure some price on your preferred platform, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Insta. Okay, Does the Paul Coulson thing tell you that something is near?
I mean, I'll take Jim Rutherford at his words that it had to do with setting a roster, although it's a little early. I think they have to set their Calder Cup rosters by the end of the week. Mm-hmm.
We should note that Abby is in Ontario, California. Right.
So it's easy peasy for him to swing on over there. Interest, the Phil Kessel thing's going to be interesting over the next 48 hours. They have to have Kessel signed on Friday for him to be eligible for the Stanley Cup playoffs. As it stands right now, doesn't look like it's tracking that way. Now, on to the hockey game. A 2-1 overtime win in Los Angeles against the Kings, avenging the 5-1 defeat here at Rogers Arena on Thursday. Your goal scorers here are your two studs, Patterson with the late one to tie and Miller to win it in the overtime session. But your biggest star is Thatcher Demko, based on the lights out save he made on Alex Turcotte, that 2-on-1. Let's hear from Coach Tockett talking about the importance of one of the saves of the year from Demko and in the NHL.
Unreal save. I mean, that's a 10-beller. I mean, that's a highlight one. That'll be on tonight and probably all month. That's big time save for us at the crucial time.
Yeah, you're damn right. And what I want to point out here, the way this game went, because everybody said it had a playoff feel to it when it wasn't just desperately boring. And
yeah,
good on the home crowd there in Los Angeles for booing as they did at the sight of nothing happening. Defensemen just sitting there on the puck in their own zone and not getting forward. Well,
Quinn Hughes actually looked at Roenick a couple of times and was like, what are we supposed to do?
And I was glad that Shorty shouted out the Laviolette Boucher stare off many years ago.
And Tomlinson too saying they should be booing the Kings.
Good on Dave for saying that too. They should be booing at one point. DT said, "You're in Los Angeles. This is glitz.
Showtime.
People have other forms of entertainment options.
Oh, just
in
a
Los
few
Angeles.
Thousand in LA. Yes.
And you're gonna sit there and play that passive 1-3-1. It's funny." Because I had watched the Kings and the Oilers recently, and Jack Michaels and Louis DeBrusk on the Edmonton broadcast were just as harsh. They're saying, like, well, you don't even want to call it a 1-3-1. You just call it a 1-4. One guy standing there in the neutral zone near the opposing blue line, and the rest of them just back there ready to clog things up and check. Boy, give me anything but a Canucks-Kings series in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That was dreadful.
Jacques Lemaire is in rural Quebec somewhere, just grinning ear to ear.
In a cabana sucre, sitting there eating maple sugar.
Yeah. Like, yes. I did this.
Well done.
Yes.
LA Kings. Anyways, dreadful hockey game, but the Canucks win. They can now sweep this road trip. We talked about how, look, Anaheim was a gimme. It's just a terrible hockey team. L.A. was a vengeance game, a difficult opponent because of where they sit in the Western Conference wildcard race. And now on to Vegas with a chance to sweep the three-game roadie before coming back to start that 9-game homestand against the Winnipeg Jets at Rogers Arena on Saturday. And you may have noticed Blake Price with the point earned from the overtime defeat. The LA Kings have moved into third place in the Pacific
Vegas
Division.
Has got lots to play for.
Vegas as the top wild card. LA has a game in hand, both teams on 73 points. The Kings also have an additional regulation win. So
Vegas has got a lot to play for. It's not a tap-in. No one would suggest it, especially at home for Vegas. But they're hurt. Figuratively and literally, like they are not playing well right now, the Vegas Golden Knights, and they've got guys on the sideline. So if ever there was a time to march into Vegas and think, well, we're getting them at a better time, this would be it. And given the Canucks stumbles of a week ago, if they could three-game sweep this on the road, huge momentum shift back in the right direction for the Vancouver Canucks, especially going into the homestand now. So absolutely big, huge game. We already knew it was huge. You have to circle it a second and third time, I think, now, because you completely right the wrongs of a week ago, I think, if you win this game.
Yeah, I think so. And of course,
to get road wins like this in succession after that little shuffle, scuffle. I mean, I would absolutely think this is a.
And of course, you've got a loss already to the Vegas Golden Knights this year. We're talking about the head to head and the best teams that are still out there. You're going to play Vegas again two more times after this one in Vegas on Tuesday, April 2nd, and then back here at Rogers Arena on Monday, April 8th. Carson Soucy returns to the lineup. They get a win because that's all they do with Carson Soucy in the lineup. The Canucks now 17-3-2 with the big defenseman in uniform. Here's head coach Rick Tocchet on the ties that bind between Soucy in the lineup and that extraordinary record.
Really good, calm, very calm and influence back there on the defense. You know, just when he's on the bench, when he's on the ice, he calms things down. When things get hectic, he makes that little subtle play to get the puck or to make a play to somebody. You can tell he's been missing it. We've been missing that from him, and to get him back, you know, he's a leader too. So it's a big. I don't know. Somebody said it's like, you know, trained for a defenseman.
He's also fresh legs.
Yes.
You know, it's a bit of a trade. It's a trade deadline acquisition, kind of in and of itself, because he's not battered and bruised from 60 games of work.
Right.
So
he's got 22 games of work.
Like, he is fresh as a daisy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really helpful for the Canucks.
And especially the defensive side. We knew that Soucy and Cole, for the most part, would be more subtle defensemen when they were added. Simple play, correct play, nothing too flashy. That's frankly exactly what the Vancouver Canucks needed after the tire fires in their own end over the last few years. And the other thing, of course, is that the Hughes-Ferona pairing has slipped some defensively. So to bring a stopper in, that big granite block defenseman at this stage of the game, just what the doctor ordered, particularly as these games get tighter, as space gets tighter, as you see more playoff style hockey games down the stretch in this final quarter against teams that, needless to say, have more at stake than the Vancouver Canucks when you look at LA and Vegas jockeying towards the bottom of the Western Conference playoff line and not the top. Like the Canucks. I know you said you didn't much fancy Jason Zucker, but Chris Johnson has reported that the Canucks are talking to Arizona about him. Does it now sound like Zucker is plan B if no Guentzel, and Phil Kessel might be plan C?
See, I'd go Guentzel, I'd go Toffoli, I'd go Zucker, and then I'd go Kessel.
Gotten quiet around Toffoli here, yeah. And you'll hear later in the show, it does sound like New Jersey, true to Tom Fitzgerald's claims, and we quoted him yesterday on that, wants to resign Toffoli, that they don't really want to trade Toffoli. So it sounds like you're either going to have to meet Fitzgerald's price here on Toffoli, or he's going to be happy to keep him through the deadline as a rental, see if he can get him re-signed. And, of course, they're holding out a flicker of hope that they can get back in the playoff race under interim head coach Travis Green. Although Greener lost his debut as the head coach of the New Jersey Devils. They fall 5-3 to Florida.
I'm not surprised that Toffoli has cooled for the very moment that we're talking here. But, you know, teams negotiate for 24 hours with a player and his agent and all of a sudden realize, God, we are far away here. This guy wants a lot of money and we're not going to be able to do it. So, yeah, we are going to either consummate that trade or pursue that trade that we were thinking about originally. So I think it's a stay right now for Toffoli, but I don't think we've heard the last of that name.
Join us at Park Casino, the official casino resort of the Vancouver Canucks. A week from today, Wednesday, March 13th, we'll be at BC Kitchen from 6 to 7 p.m. doing a live Sakaris and Price show. We got prizes to give away. This is all in advance of the game against the Colorado Avalanche. You get 15% off the game day menu with your game ticket at BC Kitchen. Sign up for the Encore Rewards. You get $10 of free play to use in the Canucks Gaming Corner. Park is just steps away from Rogers Arena, so come on by, say hello, maybe win a prize, and then make your way to the rink, or just stick around, watch the game, and course, there are entertainment options at Park as well.
Oh, and you know what? People are always, we should fly down to Vegas and watch the Canucks play the Golden Knights.
You haven't been to Park. It's absolutely gorgeous.
And it's like that experience. You get that sort of glitzy, glamorous experience before you go to the game. It's fabulous.
Yeah, and there's a good vibe in there.
Yeah.
In advance of Canucks games with the property being so close.
That's right.
To Rogers Arena and the Entertainment Stadium District. Okay, let's get to... Let's get to today's menu, and it's brought to you by our friends at Greta. And, quick story here.
Mm-hmm.
We had a free afternoon in Seattle a number of years ago as we were awaiting the Blue Jays and Mariners game. And we went to one of these arcades because there was a debate about who would kick whom's ass in Mario Kart.
Between whom and whom? I was not part of this.
This is my better half and
okay.
I thought we were playing old school Nintendo Mario Kart, but we were playing the new fancy Mario Kart. She swept me. I didn't win a single one.
Mm, they've got it at Greta.
They do. And dive into the ultimate Mario Day celebration. A thrilling tournament coming on May 10th, you get ready to put your gaming skills to the test here. Single elimination showdown, chance to win $1,000 cash. I don't like my chances against you, Grady, or anyone. I will be an easy mark in this tournament.
Mario Kart's not my specialty either, actually. No. Mm-hmm.
So whether you're a seasoned Mario expert, just up for a good challenge, event is perfect for you. Tickets online for $20 or $25 at the door. You can enjoy special $5.50 regretta pricing on drinks all day long to add to that experience. Tickets include a house beer, regretta burger, and entry into the tournament with game card. This tournament starts at 4 p.m. sharp. That's Greta, 50 West Cordova on March 10th, a Mario Day celebration.
My driving game was Super Sprint. Look it up, folks. That's how old I am.
What about F-Zero?
No, nope, don't know it.
Spaceship F-Zero?
No, nope, don't know it.
Zaxxon? Do you even know what Need for Speed or Gran Turismo is?
I know Gran Turismo. But Super Sprint.
But that's it.
What's Spin the old the dirt bike game?
Superbike? Excite Bike. Yeah,
oh. Excite Bike. Anyways.
Yeah.
Greta's a hell
of a time. We digress.
Yeah, Greta's a hell of a time. Darren Dreger is going to join us from TSN. Of course, TSN Hockey Insider. It's been a while since we caught up with Dregs, but, you know, tis the week to be doing that sort of thing. We'll get to some hashtags, the best and worst of Twitter.com. Kevin Bieksa joining the broadcast last night from Anaheim, where he now lives, former Vancouver Canuck, and, of course, Hockey Night in Canada panelist features there.
We also have a solution to the new Canadian men's national team coach.
We sure do.
Yeah.
We sure do. We have it all plotted out. Now all we need is the cooperation of citizenship and immigration.
And a foreign nation.
Well, citizenship and immigration, the Canadian Soccer Association, and the government of Spain.
Stay tuned.
All those three bodies just listen to us,
we could do this.
We're going to have a hell of a 2026 World Cup here.
Yeah.
In Vancouver, Frank Corrado stops by and says they absolutely now must trade Elias Lindholm, given the genie is out of the bottle and that they've been talking about him with other teams. And we'll check in on the Seahawks, where it was a big day of cuts yesterday, including two players who have multiple Pro Bowl selections at the same position, both gone. We'll explain later. Happy Hour brought to you by Yellow Dog Brewing, Neighborhood Brewing, and how about this? Tuesday, March 12th, Yellow Dog releasing their second mix pack, Dog Park. The Dog Park 8 Tall Can Mix Pack consists of four light and refreshing beers, the classic Retriever Golden Ale, Rollover Cerveza Negra, and two brand new brews exclusive to the mix pack, Rascal Japanese Lager and Pack Leader Pilsner. Sounds delicious. Treat yourself at the end of a work day to a Yellow Dog, Neighborhood, or Foolish Wine.
Well, 'tis the season, so we thought we'd check in with our old friend from TSN, Mr. Darren Dreger.
How you doing? You keeping Ray in line this year on the pod?
I'm trying my best. No, Ray has done a good job of just keeping nice and mellow. Like, mellow Ray is a real good Ray. So Ray Driggs has had a lot of that throughout the course of season five. You know, I'm looking forward to the trade deadline on Friday because I've gone through a stretch here, guys. Like, we all get the flu and colds and all of that. I got buckled last week. I unfortunately had to go out west, spent a bit of time in Manitoba. A family friend passed away, and I came back. Both my wife and I came back from that trip and just got hit by a ton of bricks. So as we're having this conversation here on Wednesday, I'm actually feeling like I'm about 80%, which is good with the deadline looming. Monday, I was looking sketchy for Friday's trade deadline, but I think we'll be able to bounce.
Well, you got 48 hours to get well and be a part of James Duthie and his traveling circus. We look forward to it every year. Dregs, as we sit here and chat, Mantha 50% retained for a second and a fourth. Tarasenko 50% retained for a third and fourth. Boy, it looks like a buyer's market is shaping up here a little bit.
It does. Yeah. And then, you know, you look at some of the deals we've already seen prior to these deals where you bring in a third party team as a broker. So it just goes to show you how creative managers can be, but how creative they have to be in a real tight salary cap environment where obviously, you know, the Florida Panthers acquiring Vladimir Tarasenko here are looking for more scoring punch. It seems like they've got an abundance of that with the season that Reinhardt has had and the depth they have with Barkov and Tkachuk. And I mean, go down the list, right? Carter Verhaeghe is terrific. So to add another line of offense with Vladimir Tarasenko, who's going to feel right at home. My understanding is his wife and his family live in Sunrise. So this is like leaving Ottawa going home for Tarasenko. And Ottawa gets, you know, two decent draft picks. They primarily get the third, but they also get a conditional fourth, which could turn into a third if the Florida Panthers go as deep again as they did last year. And given the quality of the Florida Panthers and how well they played this season, I don't know if there's a safer bet in the Eastern Conference to go deep into the playoffs than the Florida Panthers. So this makes them better.
The juicy part here in Vancouver is Elias Lindholm, and whether after just 15 games the Vancouver Canucks are willing to move on, don't no longer see him as a fit. What do you know? What do you think the chances are that Lindholm goes out and that Jake Gensel comes in to Vancouver?
Yeah. Well, look, that was the speculation on Tuesday, right? And it was salacious. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that we in the media just feed off of, right? Just the idea of a coveted piece in Jake Gensel, the Pittsburgh Penguins, being involved in a three-way trade with the Boston Bruins and the Vancouver Canucks. I mean, come on, we could chew on that for days. Do I know that there were conversations? Yes, I do. How do you make a complicated dynamic like that work? We could see how Jake Gensel would fit into the plans of Rick Tocchet and the Vancouver Canucks. We certainly could see why the Boston Bruins would want to try and make a hockey trade to acquire Lindholm, because the reality in Boston is they don't need one center. They need at least two centers there. You know, otherwise you wonder whether or not, you know, the season goes up in smoke for the Boston Bruins. So the pieces did kind of align, but then you have to wonder, okay, what does Pittsburgh get out of this? Where are they getting a first round draft pick from? You know, there was speculation. Could it be Jake DeBrusque? Is it Podkolzin? Is it Hoglander? Like, go down the list of all the pieces that could be in play. I think, you know, there's some substance to all of that. So I'm not saying that maybe we jumped the gun here a little bit collectively in media. There definitely was a connection. And furthermore to that, in following up on it, I heard that the New York Rangers may be poking around the Vancouver Canucks on Lindholm, you know, because they like the idea of adding a center piece as well. But I've also heard a little bit of the flip side, which involves both Vancouver and Vegas, and saying that, okay, of course they have interest in Jake Gensel. I mean, why wouldn't you? You're talking about a defending Stanley Cup champion, and you're talking about one of the top contending teams for the Stanley Cup in Vancouver. But is it more of the Pittsburgh Penguins trying to drum up a market as opposed to teams like Vancouver and Vegas being in hot pursuit? And there's a distinct difference there. Both those teams absolutely would love to have Gensel. And you look at the history of Rutherford and Alvin and Jake Gensel and Pittsburgh and all that. Yeah, we can connect the dots. But there's a big difference between one team being in hot pursuit as a buyer and the seller being in, you know, a situation where Kyle Dubas is trying to drum up a better market than the one that he actually has.
We know Frank Corrado's got opinions on this. Your thoughts on the Canucks now just needing to make this deal because it's out there. Like, is there damage control with Lindholm?
Not if he plays better, or, you know, you drift by the trade deadline and he settles in and he becomes the piece that they thought he was going to be when they made the deal, right? You guys tell me, I mean, I've watched my share of Canucks games since that trade was made. I wouldn't suggest that he's been bad. He just doesn't seem to be a fit, no matter where Rick Tocchet plays him. And now you're starting to get, you know, the quarterbacks out there, the armchair quarterbacks who are looking at the deal and going, geez, you know, not only is he not quite a fit, but he's starting to look a little slow. I mean, that's kind of what we do. And maybe that's what we see. I don't know, but it's, you know, somebody told me a long time ago when I used to watch my son play hockey, you know who it was? It was Craig McTavish. He said, Driggs, I'm going to do you a favor. When you watch your son on the ice, don't watch just your son. Watch the entire line, because what you'll notice is everybody makes mistakes.
Yes.
And so maybe that's what's going on now with Lindholm because of all of the speculation. But do I know that they've engaged in trade conversations with other clubs on Lindholm? Yes. And do I also know the history of Jimmy Rutherford, where I don't know that he would categorize this as a mistake, but why wouldn't you try and address an area of maybe potential concern? You know, you swung for the fence, you acquired Lindholm. Okay, he doesn't appear to be the fit you were hoping he would be. Well, you still have time to shake things up and make the change, so that you're happy and they're happy. I don't see anything wrong with that.
The cupboard wasn't full.
He's got a reputation for getting off a player totally. When he knows it's not working, which is different than a lot of general managers out there, Darren, who feel that they're invested after they make the move.
But what's the pressure, Darren, of making sure you don't end up with less in your pocket than you started with? It's one thing to make that trade if it's a saw-off and you get all your money back, you know, but can you get all your money back if you're Rutherford Novley?
No, probably not. But the soft comes in, okay, you can't miss twice, right? So if you're moving out Lindholm or you're making another deal and it's Gensel, if Jake Gensel ends up being a Vancouver Canuck, forget this conversation ever happened, because he's the best available player, right? Yeah. He's the best available player, super competitive, terrific hockey smarts. We could go on and on and on. If they end up with another player that makes them more competitive, maybe doesn't have the flash and dash of a Jake Gensel, but still makes them deeper and stronger and more competitive, okay, it's still good. Nothing wrong with that. If nothing happens of substance and they hold on to Lindholm and Lindholm just walks into free agency and never really finds his way with the Vancouver Canucks, then that's more of a challenge. Because part of the reason why Vancouver paid what they paid to the Calgary Flames was because of where we're at right now. They wanted the early look. They wanted to get Lindholm in early to get him established, to make sure the fit was there. Well, right now it doesn't look like the fit was there, which is why they're having these other conversations. But maybe they can replace him with somebody else that is more suited to play the way the Vancouver Canucks need him to play.
Who else are you hearing the Canucks connected to?
Oh, it's a good question. I still think they're looking at the defense market too, right? I think this is Patrick Galvin and Jimmy Rutherford just, you know, what's the best available player? And okay, if it's Gensel, all right, obviously that's where our focus is going to be. Beyond the forwards who we've already talked about, and if Gensel doesn't end up in Vancouver, I think it drops off. I really do. You know, the New Jersey Devils at some point here in the near future are going off to declare their intentions with Tyler Toffoli. Toffoli would be another good piece, but a team that I know has interest in Tyler Toffoli shared with me this morning, they don't think he's going anywhere. They think that, you know, this is Tom Fitzgerald just making sure that he's got all bases covered, that he wants to extend Tyler Toffoli. We know he's had contract extension talks with Pat Brisson. We believe that they're haggling over term more than anything else. So now where do you go below that, right? So I honestly don't have a real strong connection with the next forward for the Vancouver Canucks on that list, because there's a number of players who we don't even know about yet, right? I mean, you can't just look at the trade bait graphics that every network and every website has and says, okay, well, those are the players in play. Yeah, those are the players in play. But in the next 24, 48 hours, we're going to learn of names that we haven't even speculated on yet. And players are going to be available. Like a Pavel Buchnevich, okay, his name has been out there for an extended period of time. Again, as of this morning, the agent doesn't think he's being traded. And, you know, the source with the St. Louis Blues doesn't think he's likely going to be traded. But a lot can change between now and the 3 Eastern deadline on Friday.
Matt's pet project has been David Savard. What's the likelihood of him shaking free in Montreal? Because they do like him.
Yeah, they like him a lot. So as we speak, I'm going to say unlikely. But because of the buzz around David Savard, I'm at least willing to straddle the fence on this one. And why wouldn't you like him? You know, the pedigree, still plays the game at a high, high level, oozes character. I mean, there's just so much to like about the game. And, you know, David Savard is a defenseman that can play lower in your pairings, or if you need him to play in your top four, top three, he's capable of playing that too, right? But what does that cost? So you're talking about an individual who's valued by the Montreal Canadiens. Guys, the Montreal Canadiens aren't in the business of a never-ending rebuild. No, they're in the business of getting better right now so that they're nipping at the edges or they're locked into an Eastern Conference playoff spot next season. Because otherwise, in a Canadian market, as we all know, guess what happens? The fan base says, enough of this nonsense. So they're going to have to get a crazy return.
John Shannon mentioned to us yesterday he thought Pat Verbeek and Anaheim are ready to go make all sorts of trades, and that Frank Vatrano may be one of them. Of course, Verbeek has already swung maybe the biggest trade of the season with the Gauthier. Yeah. Who's the defenseman?
Drysdale. Yeah.
Drysdale, of course.
Drysdale, yeah.
What do you think on Vatrano here?
Skeptical at best. I mean, the information we continue to get out of Anaheim and from the player agent is that the preference is to keep him and to extend him. But until that happens, again, you know, you got to wait for that phone call to happen. So I'm not besmirching any information that suggests that he could be traded. There's a ton of interest in Frankie Vatrano. There really, truly is. So maybe they get to a place where Verbeek just says, okay, enough. You know, I've gone back and forth with the player agent here. We're not making any progress. I'm not messing around anymore. And he calls the bluff. Adam Henrique is likely going to be traded. I keep seeing and hearing that, you know, the Edmonton Oilers believe that, you know, they're going to zero in on him. So I think that Verbeek is going to be active. I do. But for me, the jury is still very much out on Vatrano because, you know, again, as we've talked about here, Verbeek and the Anaheim Ducks are like a lot of clubs. Yeah, they're trying to go through a process, but they're not in the business of making other teams better at their own expense. So when you've got good young players like Frankie Vatrano, who are really key to your room, to your bench, to how you play, Greg Cronin's a big fan. Again, it would take a ton, but if contract negotiations break down on Vatrano, maybe he does get tossed out there.
Are the Ducks the most likely to really have a fire sale and burn everything to the ground? Is there one team you think is more likely to do that, or are all of them just going to be one or two guys at most?
It feels like most of them, Blake, are going to be one or two guys. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's, you know, maybe because so many of the teams have already made their moves. Like, I'm a bit surprised that we haven't seen more from the San Jose Sharks. I mean,
they don't have much, you know, right? Like.
No, they don't. You're right. They don't. But, you know, they've got some pieces like, you know, Kakinen, the goaltender. I mean, that goalie carousel is just wild that nothing really has moved there. And I guess it's gummed up because of Jacob Markstrom and because of some of the speculation that was earlier around UC Saros and more recently around Linus Ullmark of the Boston Bruins. But maybe that shapes into action here in the next several hours leading up to Friday. But honestly, beyond that, there's no real fire sales. There really aren't, you know, because some of them have been slower and more methodical. You know, I mean, watching Greg Conroy and the Calgary Flames, man, at a snail's pace that they're operating in has been just, it's been shocking, to be fair. You know, I mean, Noah Hanifin is playing his best hockey, yet they continue to roll him out there. And we know he's going to be traded because he's not signing an extension in Calgary. So I don't, and then, you know, now I flip over to the Philadelphia Flyers. Nicky Seeler is going to sign an extension there. So that takes one of their two coveted defensemen in play likely out of the market and leaves Sean Walker, who's probably going to be traded. So lots of, you know, permutations all over the league, but, you know, no multiplayer teams, I don't think.
I was going to say, Dregs, I think Calgary can qualify as a team that is going to move a piece or two, but may still, that could still be considered fire sale, given who's already, traded out there. So Hanifin for sure. What about Markstrom at this stage?
Yeah. Well, look, so much changes with the phone call. Like, we know that Tom Fitzgerald and the New Jersey Devils have been consistently on Jacob Markstrom. The belief is Markstrom would be willing to waive to go to the New Jersey Devils. So here's my theory on this. Calgary, I think I can appreciate why if you trade Markstrom, then you might as well move other pieces, not just Noah Hanifin, right? Because it's over. It doesn't matter what you do with the remaining games of the regular season. You're not going to find your way truly back into the playoff mix. And right now it feels like a long shot and it seems like a dead end if you move Markstrom. I guess my theory would be, though, to play devil's advocate, what if you get to the offseason, now you have Markstrom, Markstrom says, okay, I want out, and here's my list of teams I'm willing to go to, and with my no-move clause, it's a team of one. That's the New Jersey Devils. Mm-hmm. So now you've got Tom Fitzgerald, who's coming back and saying, okay, well, instead of the package I was willing to give you leading up to March 8th, I'm going to give you 60 cents on the dollar. And here's what you're getting from Markstrom now. And, you know, you can play that tough game, and there's no guarantee you win it. And maybe Conroy says, well, we own the player's rights. He's under contract. So if he doesn't show up, then we suspend him. All right, yeah, I guess. But nobody ever wants to get involved in that nastiness. So I'm not closing the door on a Jacob Markstrom trade to the New Jersey Devils until 3:05 Eastern on Friday, when we know he's not being traded. And then I think some of the speculation just takes it to a new level as we brace for the offseason.
I feel a little sorry for Marky because they're no closer to the playoffs than the Flames are. What do you make of this? Is the league pissed off, do you think, that there are no playoff races to speak of? I mean, somebody's going to need to win 8 in a row that's below the bar. Never mind Nashville, who's above the bar. Somebody's going to need to win 8 in a row to put themselves close to the playoff bar in either conference. It's unbelievable. In the age of parity, there isn't much of it now.
And it all just happened like in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Last week.
Yeah. It does take some of the spice out of it for sure. And I think that's also influenced the trade deadline in a big way. Right. What was it a week and a half ago? We were actually talking about the idea of UC Saros being traded by the Nashville Predators. And then you find out one team told me, well, we called because we had interest in UC Saros, of course. And the response we got back from Barry Trotz was, okay, well, we want one of, if not your best young NHL forward. We want your top prospect. And we want a first-round draft pick. And that's kind of where we're getting started. And the team basically said, well, I guess you're not trading UC Saros then. And then they run off, 8 straight wins? And it's obvious they're not making that trade. So it definitely impacts a lot of things. Whether or not the commissioner's office is worried about it, I don't think so. They've got better things to worry about with, you know, officiating now, front burner, and Department of Player Safety continuing to be front burner and things like that.
And that franchise that we shall never speak its name.
There's
Dregs.
That too.
Remember, we made that rule last year that you don't speak about that team unless absolutely nothing is going on. Lastly, what do you think of the first time we've talked to you here in a while?
Yeah.
What do you make of this Canucks season? What do you think of their chances in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Well, I think if you want to go back to last year, and I'm certainly not taking any credit for anything that Rick Tocchet and the coaching staff of the Vancouver Canucks have done. But I had a real good feeling when they hired Tock that this was going to turn around. Not to this degree. Come on. I mean, But they've also gone through some adversity of late. So it's far been from a flawless season to this stage. But, you know, the players talk about the standard, and that's exactly what I thought Tocchet would bring. And that's why I think management made the call on Bruce Boudreau when they made the call, because I think that paid dividends. So that Tocchet and company come in, he establishes that standard and that culture that they knew was going to be there when they arrived in training camp. So I'm less surprised at the success of the team overall.
Brilliant stuff. Great to hear your voice, to your face. Thank you for this. Of. Get better. And we'll be watching. With interest over the next 48 hours.
Thanks.
All right, guys. Good to check up again.
No matter what you're buying, folks, when you're out in the world looking for this, that, and the other, I think you want to support businesses that you feel good about supporting. You can feel good about supporting the Applewood Auto Group. They've made the car business and communities around them a whole lot better with their work in the community. Go and find out why it is indeed all good at Applewood. Visit them online anytime at applewood.ca.
Tickers and Price from Wall Center presentation, Applewood Auto Group.
Headed down to Applewood Mitsubishi in the Richmond Auto Mall this afternoon, in fact. Taking my Mitsubishi Outlander plug-in hybrid edition in for a little pick-me-up. You can get your own. The 2024s are in with rates starting from 4.99% plus the industry's best warranty. Folks, enjoy what I've been enjoying. Almost never stopping at the gas station. Mm-hmm. Glorious feeling. Check it out in the Richmond Auto Mall. It's all good at Apple.
Give my best to Jason and Samuel and everyone there at the Richmond Auto Mall. Hashtags, the best and worst of Twitter.com. Oh, should tell you. Poll question. Are you okay if the Canucks stand pat? Yes or no? You can vote. Sick Harrison Price, Twitter, YouTube. Hashtags, best and worst, Twitter.com. Lead us off, Mr. Price.
Well, this has just been another one of our pet projects here, trying to find the Canadian men's national team a new head coach. Yeah.
Oh.
I've long poo-pooed this, but we have an opening at Globe and Mail.
I can't believe you don't share my vision on this.
Spanish prosecutors accuse Real Madrid coach Carlo Ancelotti of tax fraud. Seek jail sentence. Should we propose extradition to Canada?
I think we should propose extradition, that we tell the Spaniards, no, we'll handle this.
We have the greatest rehabilitation program imaginable.
Right. If we have to, we invoke those Spanish trollers fishing off the coast of Newfoundland 20 years ago, Brian Tobin, Captain Turbot. Tell them we're still pissed about that.
Yeah.
We want Don
Give
Carlo.
Give us your prisoner.
We want Don Carlo.
Give us your prisoner.
We will have him on a work release program. Yeah. He will be coaching the senior men's national team.
And he will work off this debt.
And really, Spain, you don't have to fear little old Canada. You don't have to fear little old us.
No.
We're hoping to make the quarters. You're hoping to win the whole damn thing. 2026. We'll welcome you here, but only if you send us Don Carlo forthwith.
I think it'll work.
Do you see Bieksa on...
Yeah.
At... Kelsey L. Roberts, quote, I still cheer for the Canucks and a lot less the Ducks. Kevin Bieksa, he's still our guy. Very political, very well done, Kevin Bieksa.
He and...
Senator Bieksa.
You think he's...
Well, I mean, it's a very political answer. He knew his audience.
It's a reminder, too, though, for people that, you know, see him weekly on panels there.
He played for the Canucks once upon a time, kids.
No, but he puts in the work, though, to be on those panels, right? Like, he's flying cross-continent every single time.
Yep.
That's no slouch there.
Mm-hmm. Reminds me of a young Blake Price flying to Toronto to do SportsCenter.
I have been on that. Well, he's his farther, though. Yeah. Add 45 minutes going from L.A. At True Nor. I didn't see this earlier, but the Canadian men have an exhibition game scheduled for July 19th against France in Orléans. I can see further matches against many of the other qualified teams in this time frame. The men start Olympic play July 27th in Lille. This is the Canadian men's basketball team now getting set for the Olympics, of which they have qualified, of course. And a good test before they begin to play for real against the home side French just a week before the Olympics begin. And that could, as the tweet suggests, it could be one of a handful that will be overseas.
A good test, particularly if Wembanyama plays.
Yeah, and he is expected to.
Did you see the photo of Victor standing side by side with Anthony Davis during free throws?
He had like 10 inches on him.
He makes Anthony Davis
look shrimpy,
like a Lilliputian.
Yeah, it's he is a specimen.
Mm-hmm. It's just looking at his stats too. You know, he plays 28 minutes a night. Like, he's 20 some points. He's 10, 11 rebounds.
And only in 28 minutes.
He's 3 or some assists, yeah. And he's like 4 blocks in 28 minutes a night.
Good efficiency. Good efficiency. And they're preserving him, right? Like, there's no point.
Well, that's it. Yeah, Popovich knows that this year is going nowhere, right. So
let's not wear him down.
Who has the better career, Bedard or him?
Ooh.
Right now.
I think him.
Wow.
I think that because I'm not sure you could design a basketball player better than what Victor
he
is.
Was built in a lab.
Also,
right. He was built in a lab. He's got the size element that Bedard doesn't have.
But
also you can make a bigger impact in basketball.
Right.
So
one player.
You can be very, very good in hockey, and if your team's not built properly around you, you're not going to be able to make your impact.
Right.
And we all know that there's nothing
else. Capital.
Yeah, and there's nothing really around Bedard in Chicago.
Not right now.
At least not now. At Buchagross, North Dakota's Jackson Blake has tied the NCHC conference scoring record with 35 points. Blake, the son of former NHL forward Jason Blake, has 2 league games remaining to claim the outright record shared by Bobby Brink and Brock Besser. One of Besser's collegiate scoring records may well go down here.
Mm.
Shared by BB and BB, about to be broken by JB at UND.
I see what you did there. At the fourth period, David Pignota. With contract talks not generating any traction, the San Jose Sharks are actively trying to move Alex Barabanov. Word out of San Jose is he's ready to move on and wants to join a cup contender, to which Wyshynski quote tweets and says, "You hear that, folks? Alex Barabanov wants to join a cup contender."
Hey, earlier in the year, Barabanov was looking to be one of the plums of trade deadline when we were looking at only so many teams that were out of it, and a pretty useful winger. There
he's,
in San Jose.
He's not exactly...
His game's fallen off.
Hey, 47 points in 68 games last year.
Yeah, but he's got 3 goals this season and 10 points.
His game has fallen off, of course. He's not exactly surrounded by sublime talent.
No.
I thought you were going to make a Goldie connection there.
No, Mike. No. I'm just saying, like...
I saw Pod Coles and Wheel in there last night. For a moment, I had visions of Little Nicky and that breakaway goal. Do you remember, Blake? We were in the house.
In L.A., of course.
Blake nearly jumped out of Staples Center. It was Staples Center back then.
Yeah.
And that was the peak.
Yeah.
It was all downhill from there.
All right. Don't need to pile on.
Carmen and I are in the stands with beers. We jump up because it's such an exciting goal. We're seeing all these Canucks fans in our orbit. We're all looking around like, that's the new guy, Goldobin. What a trade.
I was drinking in a bar
because
in Chicago,
he was better
Toronto.
Than Jason Megna. That was right. That was the
That's
celebration.
Right.
Low bar.
Yes, exactly. That was the celebration.
Somebody who has scored here who may have more upside than Jason Megna.
Yeah.
Turns out not so much. Lastly for me, promo-wise here, we've been telling you about our friends at the Daily Faceoff and their trade deadline special coming up on Friday. It's also going to be carried by Game Network at Game Plus Network. Get ready for Daily Faceoff's trade deadline special coming up Friday. They're airing it at 2 Eastern, so 11 a.m. Pacific, on Game Plus Network. And they're asking who you think will be on the move. And I suspect there will be many on the move Friday, and there may very well be some big names on the move prior to that. And that's hashtags for today.
BP added more than $70 billion to the U.S. economy in 2022 by making investments from coast to coast. Investments like building charging hubs for fleets of electric buses in California and starting up new infrastructure in the Gulf of Mexico.
It's and, not or. See what doing both means for energy nationwide at bp.com/investing in America.
TSN hockey analyst Frank Corrado, a former Vancouver Canuck, as we approach the trade deadline here with still plenty swirling around our hockey club. How are we doing, Frank?
I'm good. I don't know, like, for people who can watch the podcast, they can obviously see that I have a headset on now, so I can take your order. Double, double. What do you, Boston cream?
Proceed to the next window. Man. Do I get my food here, or do I go to the next window for the food?
Pay up front.
Okay. What if I roll up to win the rim to win on the spot? Can you give me my prize right there in the window, Frankie?
Yeah, don't they do that, right? They
I don't know. I think you have to circle back around.
Is it digital now? Is it like
digital? Digital. Oh, digital rims?
I think so. I think they got, since COVID, they got rid of like the actual rims. I could be wrong. I don't actually work there despite my headset.
And you're not ripping off an 8-hour Call of Duty session anytime
soon? No, that's probably more up Grady's alley, like a 6-pack of Red Bull.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. And the adult diaper, so he doesn't have to leave.
Red Bull,
post.
Yellow dog, and Call of Duty. There you go.
Yeah, sorry, honey. Can't walk the dog.
Exactly. I'm in the middle. Don't worry. I've never gotten to this level before. Listen, plenty swirling around the Canucks, as mentioned, including this. I mean, you almost never hear of this, that they might just want to move on from Elias Lindholm, that he hasn't worked out here, and they may be looking to flip him for Jake Guentzel. What did you make of all that?
No. Not that you might want to move on from him. You absolutely have to move on from him because of what's happened now. You can't let something like that go public of that kind of magnitude, something that we never, ever, ever see. And what, you're not going to move him now? And what, he's supposed to just show up after the trade deadline and be like, well, I guess I don't fit here. I guess they didn't want me here from, I don't know, who knows how long, maybe a couple weeks ago, whatever the case may be. And now what do they tell him? No, we believe in you. Like, you got to be here. We really want you. It's like, I just heard all that stuff. So I don't know how, like, I don't know how you don't trade him now at this point.
So, like, walk us through this. You're Elias Lindholm. This somehow gets back to you. And yeah, they're credible insiders that had the scoop. Is there any stuff in this genie back in the bottle? Can Canuck management go down to him? Because let's say it blew up or it was false. Can Canuck management go down to him and say, listen, that was not the case. You're not going anywhere. Do you believe it if you're Elias Lindholm?
No, not for a second. Because if something like that goes public from the credible insiders, it's not just thinking out loud like, I wonder, you know, if this could happen. It's like, chances are that's
they went down the road
there. Right. Yeah, like that's been out there and they're going down the road. So I just don't know how you don't make that trade now. I think that's like for me in my head, as far as like watching this happen from an outside or maybe for him, I don't know how he would feel. I can't speak to him, but I don't know how you don't make this trade now. It's just it would be a really odd look if you had this talk about something of that kind of magnitude and it doesn't happen. And now he's just got to show up and play. And it's like, I don't know how you move on from that.
Does Guentzel get them further ahead here?
Well, I think Guentzel's a better fit based on where the team is at right now. I think when you go back and look at things prior to the Lindholm trade, they had the lotto line together. So it really accentuated the need for a second line center, but the lotto line fizzled out. And Pettersson and Miller are playing on separate lines. So now all of a sudden you make this big trade for Lindholm and it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit anymore because he's not going to be your third line center when your lineup is healthy. And he doesn't seem like he's a natural fit on the wing. And enter Jake Guentzel, who's a natural fit on the wing and who has a lot of familiarity with a lot of the people who make decisions in Vancouver. And how about the playoff pedigree of Jake Guentzel? Like the year that they went to the Stanley Cup Finals and won when he was on the team, he was a massive part. He had 13 goals in 25 games. The next year, they lost to Washington. He had 10 goals in 12 games. And then as of 2 years ago, the last time the Penguins were in the playoffs, 8 goals in 7 games, all in the playoffs. Like, this guy scores goals in the playoffs. So, I mean, when you look at all the evidence there, as far as what's a better fit for the Canucks, it absolutely is Jake Guentzel. But, like, we were talking previously about how good of a fit Elias Lindholm was on the Canucks because they were playing the lotto line together, and Pugh Suter was not going to be your second-line center in the playoffs. The fact that they've constructed the lines now the way they have, that has changed things to the point that Lindholm is no longer a better fit in the lineup.
What didn't work for Lindholm, though? Like, why is it not working on the ice?
He's got to play in the middle of the ice for sure, which, you know, now he's third line center, whatever you want to call it. I think it's one of those things where he was familiar with how Calgary operated. He played on a really good line a couple of years ago, and you could even see his game drop off a little bit in Calgary when those players left. Like, it just didn't seem like he was the same kind of guy. So you put him in another position in Vancouver where, you know, he gets off to a great start for sure, you know, power play, all that kind of stuff. But he's playing with different players, it seems like, quite a bit. He's not playing higher in the lineup down the middle of the ice where he's the most comfortable. So you're not exactly, even though he's a veteran guy, really good player, you're not exactly putting him in the best position to say, this is your spot and here you go. And you know, it's just a lot of moving around for the player. It's not exactly easy to jump on a moving train that way.
They've already given up Kuzmenko, Brstevich, a first-round pick, and in either a third or fourth. It's conditional. Would you give up more for Guentzel, or do you have to just draw the line and say, look, we've given up a load here for a player on January 31st, right? This is 6 weeks later.
Well, you get something back for Lindholm. So you do get, yeah. You have,
well,
that.
Well, no, but I mean, is it just become straight across the board? You move Lindholm, I guess Boston's involved here. Mm-hmm. Boston moves whatever to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh moves Jake Guentzel to Vancouver. And it's player in, player out, no further assets. What do you think, Frankie?
I don't know. Like, I don't know how you make this deal for Guentzel without, like, a good prospect. Like, the Penguins have been very vocal about how they don't necessarily care about draft picks. They want players that they could turn around in a hurry and help that team kind of turn the corner. So if I'm Pittsburgh, I see two players. I see Lekkerimäki and I see Willander. And
in addition to a prospect from Boston, though, because you're getting something back for Lindholm. Yeah, I mean, you're getting Fabian Eliasell, right?
I get it, but I don't know how Vancouver gets off this deal without giving up something substantial.
Wow. Like,
I guess, I don't know. It's going to be very complex for sure, and I get that Boston is involved, but like all we hear from general managers are prices are ridiculous, prices are really high. So I don't know how you start getting discounts when it comes to the number one trade target on the board. And yeah, it'll obviously be complex, and Vancouver doesn't want to part with those kinds of players either. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out, because it's obviously going to be quite intricate.
Well, here's how you would get out of this without giving up further. It becomes a buyer's market here in the last 48 hours. When you take a look at the playoff race and teams like Washington, Pittsburgh, you know, teams that have effectively declared themselves as sellers now, and the separation in the wildcard race, could you see prices coming down in the next 48 hours with where the standings are, particularly the wildcard standings right now?
I know we're starting to see it now. Like, it seems like this year, and at least it's a little bit later in the year where we kind of know what the playoff picture is going to look like. I feel like in years past it was already predetermined. Prices have to come down. They're not going to be that high. Take a look at the trade bait board. Look at the names on there. Outside of Guentzel, Hanifin, and Jacob Markstrom, you could pick any one of those guys that's on the board, and next year change the last name, and it's going to be basically the exact same player, similar cap hit. Like, they're just a lot of the same kind of guy that we see year after year. For me, there's three guys that are real difference makers, and I would even say that Toffoli is probably closer to that top tier than he is just the everyday kind of guy. But that's the thing when you're looking at these UFAs and guys that are on expiring deals. Like, how much are you possibly willing to give up for those players at this point to have them for, you know, one playoff series? If, you know, two playoff series?
No. Mantha's a 20-goal scorer this season already with very sheltered minutes and situations. He's effectively a second-round pick because that fourth rounder is like 80 years from now can be recuperated.
Like, and with 50% retention. Yes. Like, I thought that was cheap.
And he's a flawed player. He's a flawed player. But that's nothing. Vegas. You're not paying anything for him.
And that's what it needs to be. Like, that's honestly, like, we're talking about seconds, thirds, fourths, and I don't know. Like, that's how, like, you can't run an operation and an organization and start giving up like legitimate future pieces for guys that aren't going to be in your picture much longer. Like the guys that have a year attached to them, like someone like Vetrano, that's a guy who gets a little bit more because he's got one more year attached to him. Someone like David Savard, someone's going to really have to knock the socks off the Canadians to bring that guy in because he's got one more year at 3.5, and he's a very dependable defenseman.
Give us a scouting report. Go deeper on those players.
Yeah.
I thought the Vetrano contract, when Anaheim signed that deal, I looked around at other teams that are like good, like teams that are in the mix, and I thought, how is a better team not making that deal for this guy? Like he's been a good goal scorer in the past, and it's just over, you know, it's 3, 3.5, something like that. It's in the threes, and it's like I would have been willing to make that deal for a guy. Let's say you put him on your third line and you get some production that way. I like him. He's got a great shot. He's been really good on the power play. He's got a sneaky way of kind of maneuvering around the ice and getting his shot off. He plays with some jam. Like
he's a bit of a fire hydrant, right? Like
he's a thicker, stockier kind of guy, and he's not afraid to play with a little bite, a little bit of jam. So I like him. I think he's going to be a great addition. The David Savard one has just recently started picking up a little bit of steam, but like I'm fortunate enough, like I get to watch Montreal on a very regular basis. And I can't remember if you and I, if we have talked about this or not, but there's something that happens there in Montreal. Every time one of those young defensemen, whether it's been Gouley or Struble or Jack Guy or Harris, all good young defensemen, anytime they stub their toe for a game or maybe a week of games, guaranteed they will get paired with David Savard. And it's like instant. They just settle down and they play calm and they settle into their role. And Marty St. Louis had Savard and Matheson playing together for quite a bit of the year. Gouley's been really consistent, so that allowed Gouley to go with Matheson and put Savard with any one of those young guys, and he plays 20 minutes. Like
that sounds very Tenevian, you know?
It is. Mm. And the thing with that player, it's different than Luke Shen. It's different than Ilya Labushkin. It's different than even Matt Dumba in the sense that those guys are probably better suited at 15 to 17 minutes. And that's who they are. Savard plays 20 minutes and he does it pretty well. Like last night, the Canadiens against Nashville, he scores a pretty fluky goal, but he was outstanding. He was really, really good. So I'm a big fan of his game, but I think it's going to take a big offer because for Montreal, they're still really trying to nurture that young group of defensemen, and to take that guy out, it's going to take a quite substantial offer. But it's different. That's why it's different than the rental market.
Is that a first round pick, Frank?
I would be more considering a first round pick because you will have him next year, and it's $3.5 million. It's not crazy, and I think he's good defensively. He's better than you think with the puck. He blocks shots. Like he is one of the best shot blockers in the NHL, and he missed a lot of games this year because he blocked a shot and it hit him in the hand or the forearm. And I think that knocked him out for over 20 games. But I mean, he's really good at that. And that's something that kind of goes unnoticed, I think, when you talk about a lot of these analytics, you know, expected goals against, all that kinds of stuff. But push comes to shove in the playoffs, you need a big block shot. Like he's the kind of guy who's going to lay out and block.
Would you take a 25 first round pick? Just ask him for a friend.
You're coming around on Savard, huh? He was poo-pooing Savard yesterday,
that's a good
Frank,
review.
But now he
that's,
hears you and
I
all
like
of a
him.
Sudden he's jumping on board.
I like him because I've seen him a lot, you know, and I think and it's a better fit because you're not asking him to do too much. I think that's the thing that really drives it home for me. And the same could be said for Vancouver as far as Savard, as Toronto, and I mean you name the team. Like there's a number of teams that could use a guy like that, but that's why I think the price is going to be expensive, because if you do really covet this kind of guy with another year remaining, and sometimes I don't know if you guys feel this way. You see a player with a little term on the deal and you think, I don't know if I want that next year. Like maybe I do want the rental, right? Like it could deter you a little bit, but I feel like with him one more year, it's just the right sweet spot where yep. You don't have him for two more years. It's one more year. I can't imagine he's going to fall off that much. And if he does, guess what? He's a UFA. And you cut your losses at that point.
Yep. I'm 100% with you. And he's massive too, Frank. Yeah. Like, and they love beard. Their big defenseman.
Like, there's something to be said for a big beard in the playoffs. Dude, you know, like,
did I not shout the beard yesterday?
Beard per 60 is high.
Exactly.
Okay. Let me ask you this though, because
Vetrano and Savard under contract next year that you'd feel good about.
I the more I watch the Oilers, the more you have to McDavid proof your team. Does Savard help you in that, or is his foot speed going to be a problem at his age and his size? I mean, I don't think you can fully McDavid proof your team. I mean, he's just on another level right now. He just decides, I'm going to win this game for my team, and I don't know that you can stop it. Does he get you further along in that regard, Savard, or is there somebody else that springs to mind that gets you a little bit closer? Because again, there's no secret to stopping McDavid. He's that good. But if
ultimately,
the Canucks,
like ultimately, Blake, I think he helps you, but he's not the answer. Like he's not the, like, it's not like David Savard is coming in and all of a sudden you have the answer for McDavid. I think we saw the answer for McDavid last year in the playoffs, and it was Vegas, and it was four good centers and six, you know, solid, big, strong defensemen. Like that's the answer for McDavid, where, you know, it doesn't really matter. Well, it does matter a little bit, but you can get by on some matchups that maybe you're supposed to lose because you got guys who can skate well, who are big, who have some reach, who take care of, you know, the defensive side of the puck. Like it seems to me that's the best answer for McDavid. And I think there's teams now that are looking at who they're going to play in the first round of the playoffs or at some point in the playoffs. And, you know, the teams in the Pacific are going to look at McDavid. I think the teams in the Atlantic are going to look at David Pastrnak. Like I'm watching Toronto and I'm like, they got no answer for Pastrnak because he plays the right wing and their left side of the ice is Morgan Rielly, Simon Benoit and TJ Brody. And the left wingers are, you know, Nyes, Bertuzzi, you know, just go down the list. It's like he has a field day on that side of the ice. How do you stop McDavid? He's in the middle. He's everywhere. So it's hard. It's hard to really pinpoint how you stop him.
But it's a great point. If he's coming down his left wing, he's attacking the right side defenseman on his forehand. So it's a fabulous point that you're going to have to be able to deal with certain kinds of players in certain areas of the ice in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's when we, you know, boil down the game to finer points, right? And everything sticks out and everything gets magnified in a 7-game series. Lastly, outside of Lindholm Gensel, because you're declared on that, but let's say they just keep Lindholm. There is no further activity there with Gensel. Would you be okay if the Canucks stood pat, or do you think they need to do something here?
Well, I'm going to say that they need to move Lindholm now because it's too noisy. And when that messaging gets out, I don't know how you bring him back in now. And maybe you just tell him, like, listen, business is business. We wanted to move you. We didn't. Now you need to kind of suck it up and play here. But I don't know how that conversation goes down. So I think you need to move Lindholm at this point. If they don't, then that's who you got. You got to hope that if he's going to play in the top six, he can find a little something on the wing, because ultimately when your third line is back and healthy, that line's going back together. And you've maybe found a little something here with Pettersson and Miller playing on different lines. The other, I don't know how you guys feel about the wingers right now, but I feel like, man, I would love to see an upgrade on Pettersson's wingers at this point.
Well, on that note, did the Canucks miss the boat on Tarasenko going with him in Florida?
I mean, he's had a good year. He's been a good player. He's a secondary market kind of guy, but that's why I think, like, you know, Tarasenko, Vetrano, like, I don't know, go down the list, Buchnevich, Toffoli, you know, Anthony Mantha got traded already, Riley Smith. Like, there's a lot of guys that are in the same kind of category, just give or take a little bit of what makes them different. So that's why I say it's like, you know, it's the big three up top. Maybe there's like a second tier with like Toffoli. And I think it's a lot of, you know, similar kinds of players. So I don't necessarily think they missed the boat on that. The other thing is Tarasenko had a full no move. So he decided.
He had some say. He wanted to go there apparently. So
lastly, your trade deadline, trade center duties, it's Francesco, Gino and Carlo on a panel.
There's going to be a little Italian segment, I believe, at some point, if we need to fill some time. So we'll see how that goes. I'll be out there on the more on the side desk with Brian Hayes, Carlo. I think Emily Kaplan is going to be in the mix with us. So I'm hoping there's a lot of trades, so we don't really have to get into should defensemen protect themselves when they're near the boards more nowadays.
Wait. Hey, you've got our numbers.
I'm sorry.
Text.
I'm sorry. If you're telling me there's an Italian segment planned for a slow trade center, I want to see nothing happen until that Italian.
That's right. Yes.
Runs.
Yeah. Get some sauce out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we can't do the Italian segment without shouting our boy Piero Minetta here.
Piero Minetta. Yeah, I gotta get some viz.
There you go.
Yeah, I gotta arrange some viz for that.
Right.
Here's the sign of a good beard. Okay. This is how you know someone has a good beard. They cannot eat soup. If you cannot eat soup or ice cream, that's a good beard.
Sure is. You're a good one too, Frank Corrado. Thanks for this. We'll catch up next week.
All right, boys. Thanks. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening to me talk, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Harrison Price from Wall Center presentation, Applewood Auto Group. Join us. Oh, text us first, 778-402-9680. And then join us at Park Casino, the official casino resort of the Vancouver Canucks, Wednesday, March 13th. 6 to 7 p.m. will be at BC Kitchen in advance of the game against the Colorado Avalanche. Come grab a bite, watch the show, prizes on site, details to and more details to come on those prizes as we get closer to the event. You receive 15% off your game day menu with a game ticket at BC Kitchen. Just steps away from Rogers Arena if you're going to the game, and sign up for Encore Rewards. Get $10 free play to use in the Canucks Gaming Corner. Okay. Wow. I see our friend Captain Greg Bell is busy chronicling the activities of the Seattle Seahawks. We talked a little bit about Russell Wilson yesterday. Here we are, though. Boy, I'm not sure I've ever seen a day where a team has cut 2 3-time Pro Bowlers at the same position, but here we are. Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs, 2 safeties, cut alongside tight end Will Disley on Tuesday. This is to create salary cap space. We talked about, we foreshadowed this a few weeks back, that the Seahawks were likely going to have to cut some guys to create some salary cap room. They have done so. They have $36.2 million in cap space. Bob Condotta, the Seattle Times, reporting the cap space created actually moves them into the top 10 in terms of available dollars to spend. Did you see Quandre Diggs had a funny tweet?
No, I missed it.
Are you familiar with the movie Friday starring Ice Cube?
Yeah. Oh, is he the one that said fired on my day off?
Got fired on my day off. Damn, and he has the gift there of Ice Cube from the Friday movie. So he's keeping a good head.
He's going to be okay. He's going to be okay.
No, he's a pretty good
player. He was
super
expensive. Yeah, I think they would have kept him on the team if his rate is lower.
Yeah. Now, I know a lot of 12s are probably quite happy not to see Tyler Lockett's name on this list. The wide receiver was a potential cut based on his salary and their salary cap needs. For the moment, he's there. He may have to renegotiate if he's going to stay.
Three guys over $20 million per season, right. Lockett, Geno, and DK.
But the one thing this does, the moves from yesterday, it absolutely puts them on the market for a safety. They got Julian Love there. He's a good player, but you're going to need another. And it absolutely puts them on the market for a tight end where Noah Fant is a free agent. There's just not a lot of depth at either of
those
linemen positions
too.
Now. And this was already a team that was needing front seven players, some inside linebackers, some defensive linemen. So a lot of work to be done for John Schneider now with the keys to the kingdom and new head coach Mike McDonald in free agency and in the NHL.
They're going to have a new flavor for this team. This is going to be a different Seahawks team, which is kind of exciting because could they have muscled out another 9-8 season? Yeah, probably. I don't think they're a terrible team as they were constructed, but they weren't going to be threatening any Super Bowls, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I will say is that McDonald is from the Harbaugh school, both of them, John and Jim, worked with the Baltimore Ravens and John Harbaugh as defensive coordinator the last couple of years, previous to that with Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines. And both of those programs are run the ball, be physical, establish the line of scrimmage. A lot of the things that Pete Carroll preached there, and of course with that quarterback, Blake, I think you sort of have to. You're pigeonholed into being that sort of team until you get more of a dynamic quarterback in place. Poll question results from Tuesday. How far are you willing to go in a trade this week with the Canucks? We listed Hoglander, Lekromäki, Podkolzin, Wielander. I know you know Podkolzin won the poll. Percentage?
74.
It was high. 82. 6.3 willing to move Lekromäki. 6.1 willing to move Nils Hoglander, the only established NHLer in the group. Only 5.3 willing to move Tom Wielander. Well done, Canucks Nation. Some may look at that and go, what do you mean? Wielander with the lowest votes? Even fewer than Lekromäki? They have learned the lesson poll respondents have of the right shot defenseman in this National Hockey League and how difficult it is to acquire that player either via trade or in free agency if you do not having it. Dita Bug says, I'm having a hard time giving up any of them for a rental. We saw a lot of that. A Dream says, Lekromäki, if it's an elite-level return. Chuck Tweets says, none of the above. We did see a lot of none of the above there as well. Completely understand all of that. The Canucks have taken a huge swing. Kevin, selling the future is not going to end well. I would personally not move any of them. Hogs will cost a pretty penny after next year, but probably not going to get that much of a better player in a trade. Can concur with that. Okay, errors and omissions. Blake called it ice hockey. That is banned here. It's just hockey. There was my confusion over the Carson Soucy.
By the way, on that one, I got a text from our good friend Tom Plasteris yesterday.
Yes, former VP of the Whitecaps.
Tell me your daughters play field hockey without telling me your daughters play field hockey.
His daughters played field hockey at an extraordinary level at the University of Iowa.
All Americans, yeah.
Yes.
And Boston College.
Shout out to Sophie. And Grady, you did not have David Savard prep done. And that's on me because I didn't tell you we were going to go as hard on David Savard as we did yesterday.
Where's the error?
No, I'm taking the error for you, Grady. That's what leaders do.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything from the inbox?
Nope.
Thanks for listening, everybody. A reminder, subscribe to this program, Rinkwide Vancouver, Canucks Conversation, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow on social. That's Twitter, Insta, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. We're live on YouTube daily at 11:30. And, of course, support those community sponsors you hear us talking about. Keep it local.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.